Hey everybody, welcome to Myopia Movies. This week we are talking Free Willy, or Michael Madsen worked in kids' movies, or wow, this is about orphans, or any number of things, I don't know. It's such a weird movie. It's part of the cultural zeitgeist from my kids, or childhood rather, that famous Michael Jackson song. The fact that everyone saw it a million times, but I remembered so little about it other than that final shot, the iconic shot, but still. There's a lot more to this weird movie than that, so sit back and enjoy this. I don't know if I'd say it's a nostalgia buster. It's definitely a weird nostalgia piece. Enjoy, guys. And thanks for listening, subscribing, and please review us. We haven't gotten a bunch of new reviews in a while, so hopefully there's more than the handful of people who've reviewed us listening. But thanks, really, truly. Bye, guys. Welcome to Miami Movies. This week we're doing Free Willy. And of the jokes I could have come up with, I'm choosing the closest Michael Jackson should ever be to a child. I'm host Nick Hoffman, Riffer on Cineprov. Join the Patreon, and hopefully, as you're listening to this now, within a few weeks, we'll be doing live shows again in Sandy Springs at the Sandy Springs Tap House. And on panel this week we have
Jeremy.
And
hello, this is Daniel, a contributor Popdos.com. I'm going to resume that soon. I've been on a bit of a hiatus, and I don't like this new director's cut.
That's right.
Author Matthew W. Quinn, who didn't even watch the movie, so I'll just sit here quietly and occasionally make smart-ass remarks.
Yeah, we just have to trash a little childhood.
Wait. Let's back up a second. Sandy Springs, tell me about Cineprov.
So, we're in talks right now to join the Sandy Springs Tap House. Which is an old LaFont Theater out in Sandy Springs, you know, an old, like, 10 theater thing. And right now, we're working out a way to work with them.
Daniel, is that where we saw 1917?
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorite theaters. I mean, it's 10 minutes away from where I usually live. I won't get into all the drama there, but, oh, man, I'm so excited to hear that.
We'll see. Right now, we're in talks. And if they fall through, we can edit it before. We're recording that far out. But we're in talks to go back to live shows. In the meantime, if you want a more than a year's back catalog and more than 24 movies back catalog, join the Cineprov Patreon. Patreon.com/Cineprov, along with us here. This is like
there are a couple ones I'm on that aren't for public consumption, like Rocketeer and Silver Bullet and Highlander 2, which are delightful, and Patreon only.
Yeah, patreon.com/myopia.
You're making people pay for Highlander 2?
I mean, first of all, if I have to fucking pay for Highlander 2 by watching it, they have to fucking pay to listen
that
to
that episode was absolutely hilarious, Jeremy. Didn't you listen to it?
I mean, and again,
Daniel and I did the milkshake song.
They sure did do a milkshake. And I was burying my head in my hands and pouring a stiff drink. Mm-hmm. But I will say, patreon.com/myopia, where we have, God, nigh on 24 extra episodes, something like that. We have like 20 extra episodes. We have more than a day's worth of extra material there. More than 24 extra hours. So if you want to listen to this right
also,
here.
Also, if you do join the Patreon at a certain tier, Nick does indeed Free Willy.
Yeah. The webcam has been in my bathroom for months now, and shockingly low subscribers. I've been blocked in OnlyFans Russia, so we'll see what we can do.
Surprisingly popular in Bulgaria, this feed
is. We call it Bulgaria.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway, so we're talking about Free Willy, as Principal Skinner calls it, a movie about that delinquent whale. Sudsy, you want to give us a brief synopsis?
Well, it's about a Willy that's freed. I don't know. It's about this kid named Jesse who is a delinquent and vandalizes this SeaWorld knockoff in Oregon,
Portland, Oregon.
Okay. He befriends a whale named Willy who Lori Petty can't even tame. So during this whole thing, he realizes that his goal in life is to free Willy, and that's what happens, despite what Michael Ironside, the owner of Willie, seems to think.
Harumph, that Willie. Like, Michael Ironside played such a cartoon villain. Like, dude, this movie has so much scenery chewing, it's incredible. So, this hour and 52 minute kids movie that ends with a Michael Jackson music video. God help us all.
Too much Willy freeing going on there, too.
Now,
yeah, right?
I remember, since this is about myopia, I remember seeing this in theaters as a kid, and I swear to God, either before the movie or after the movie, they had the Michael Jackson video.
I believe they did, too, and it actually threw me off that it was just the audio in the background.
Mm-hmm.
What was the one with the mouse? Because Michael Jackson had another music video where there was, like, a little rat he was singing about.
Oh, Ben. Willard?
Ben.
Ben. Ben. Ben.
That was from the 70s.
Yes.
The two of us need look no more.
That's the one.
Isn't that the movie where it involves, like, sequel to Willard, where yes. people get eaten by rats?
Yes.
Nominated for an Oscar, that song was.
I will also say, somewhere in this room, I have my version of Free Willy. I owned it as a VHS tape, and I probably watched it 100 times, and I realized I couldn't have told you anything about this, like, Dickensian orphan nonsense. You could have put a gun to my head, and I would have gotten it wrong that Michael Madsen is in this?
Michael Madsen, but not Michael Ironside.
Right?
Michael like... Madsen, Michael Ironside, Lori Petty. This is one of the most 90s ensemble casts you can imagine.
I mean, this would have been great for a Verhoeven film, but...
Whale
film?
Can you imagine if this was done like a documentary with Werner Herzog, like, the kid is trying to feed a whale? Also, speaking of cheap heat nonsense, like, can you imagine hiring Michael Madsen for this kid's movie a year after Reservoir Dogs? Because Reservoir Dogs is 92.
I snuck in the aquarium with you.
Dude, but this Michael Madsen is looking at this kid like, oh my God, I'm going to kill him. Oh my God, I'm going to kill him. Like, they want to play baseball. The kid doesn't want to play baseball. And he just gives this look to the kid. And I'm just like, he's going to murder this child. And he steals the guy's truck.
I believe that the relationship between the whale and this child is the most important relationship on the planet Earth. More important than the relationship between Mr. Blonde and that ear he sliced off. That was such a simple relationship. But what I was interested in is the relationship between the whale and his soul against Jesse.
So smash cut to Japanese people hunting whales.
They weren't Japanese.
Okay, so one dude is Asian. The other guy looks like he fell off the deck of, well, of a soap opera, which I'm sure he did, on a ship called the Pequod. Do we get it, ladies and
gentlemen? Har-di-har-har.
Yeah, I know. It's awful. So they're somewhere, presumably. And by the way, if you want to really depress yourself, apparently there was Milo and Otis levels of mistreatment of this whale up in Portland. The whale did not die on the production of this, though apparently it didn't do too well. It was freed later and eventually died of pneumonia, so we can get that out of the way, because it's kind of a bummer.
Which was a big news event back in the day when the whale was freed, and then 3 years later it died.
Yeah, okay. I remember hearing about that, and it never really bonded with other whales and hung out with people too much and died.
That's right, pretty much. And, like, regardless, this cold open is a bunch of poachers catching the whale, essentially, which I assume they then sell to this amusement park? I don't know. Maybe this one whale doesn't make it.
Well, Michael Ironside is the, I guess, owner of this amusement park. I thought Dial in this case, which some sort of reference to charade, and Jeremy's about to look at me and call me a dumbass.
Well, apparently they wanted... Charade's a great movie.
Yeah,
it is.
They wanted Jack Nicholson for the role, by the way, of Dial, played by Michael Ironside, and he said, give me the money. And they said no, because I guess it's Warner Brothers.
Which is, I mean, he made like $50 million from Batman, so...
Yeah.
And well-deserved.
Yes.
No, I love it. Please. I mean, and this is pre-As Good As It Gets, Jack... where at that point he's just kind of like the fun grip. Like, Had it been made 10 years earlier, he would have been Dirty Grandpa. Like that's kind of where Jack was at the time. So you could get him cheap then, but 4 years after Batman, nah, man.
You said well deserved, or they said whale dessert.
Not that quick. Thank you though.
Well, I mean, the whole thing about this movie is we get that opening scene, and then we get a scene with Jesse and his gang.
I was gonna say then it's 40 minutes before we get back to the whale, really.
Right. I mean, the whale isn't important in this movie in the first act. It's just Jesse trying to...
Jesse and the Foot Clan from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
They're at, like, a skate park. They steal a sheet cake from someone's wedding reception.
And I swear to God, one of the kids in this gang is McLovin.
He looks exactly like McLovin. He has this tall Milhouse friend who tries to get him to do wrong. Like, it's very... whatever. But they go to this restaurant, they steal a bunch of scraps, and then they...
Including a cake, if I recall.
Yeah, a sheet cake that's like a birthday cake or a wedding cake. And they go to this skate park, where again, it's the Foot Clan. There's just kids skateboarding for no reason. People are like, and they're just eating cake by the fistful, like savages, like nonsense.
The literal fistful. They'll like put their fists in the cake and...
And then the kid steps on the damn cake. I'm like, boom! Gonna get sick here. The cops show up because of course they do, and at this point we're introduced to the whale for the first time.
Hey, that's not a nice thing to call Michael T. Williamson.
Yeah, I remember seeing this when I was a little kid. Don't they break into the amusement park to hide from the cops?
Yes. And they immediately start tagging it with spray paint as though you weren't avoiding capture, so let's make ourselves as obvious as possible.
And they see the whale through the peephole, and it scares them like it's a horror movie.
Yeah. I mean, I remember that level of Jet Grind Radio back in the day. Wow. That was a tough level.
Gross. That's See, funny.
For all you kids out there, before Splatoon, there was a game called Jet Set Radio.
That's right, which is the same game. I had forgotten this orphan nonsense the entire... Also, he's convinced he's going to find his mom the entire... Like, there's this plot.
She's coming back. She just has stuff to take care of, and...
Which means the moment when we're, quote, getting real is when a character named Dwight Merchant, I think, who is his, like, worker, like the guy who helps him find foster home.
Social worker.
Just goes, your mom abandoned you when you were like 4. You've been going from foster home to foster home. If she wanted to find you, she could have found you. We've got the federal marshals looking
now,
for
her. Now, how is the social worker not Tone Loke?
Oh, God. Well, I mean, this is the same year, or 1 year before Ace Ventura, so he's probably busy having Jim Carrey talk out his ass to him. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's basically what this kid's doing whenever he talks about how he hates authority and doesn't want parents except for his mom, who's coming back.
What is this, Angels in the Outfield?
Dude, I was thinking the same thing. It's just like abandoned kids getting wishes, and this one is like, I guess he just should have had better dreams. Now, do you recognize the actor? Do you recognize the actor?
Which actor?
The one who plays the social worker.
Bubba.
Yeah, it's Michael T. Williams. He's Bubba from Forrest Gump.
Oh, all right.
So, also this season, I don't know if this is going to come out before or after. I think this comes out after. But, yeah, he's Bubba from Forrest Gump. And he's also in one of my favorite movies ever made, which is Black Dynamite.
I thought you were going to say Species 2.
I almost said Final Destination, because he's in Final Destination as well.
They both involve wood.
That's right. That's very good. But he's had a career. He's fine.
All right, let's get into why this movie doesn't work, and I can sum it up in 3 words here.
Michael, 110-minute runtime.
Yes.
Yeah.
First of all, this should be a tight 90 if there's ever been a tight 90.
The 3 words I was thinking of was... whale, not doggy.
Okay.
What I mean is that there is such a temptation in, like, Disney movies to treat any animal whatsoever like it's a dog. It's a domesticated animal, just automatically loves humans. And no, that's not how that works.
Well, first of all, brother, this is Warner Brothers, and they can fuck up a lot of animals. And second of all, I mean, you're right. Like, eventually what the plot is going to turn into, which we're, like, an hour away from, is he's going to be like a magic kid who can talk to this whale in a way that makes him listen. Which, by the way, we learned about through a harmonica solo.
Because this kid has with the animals, talk with the animals, screech and scream and lurch like the animals. I forget the lyrics.
It's fine. My God. Dr. Doolittle is Chief Wiggum.
This bird's going to fly.
But, like, the whole gang is, like, we have this weird kind of, like, haunting theme at the beginning, which is out of place in this movie. And then the kid is just playing it on the harmonica like it's the kid's theme song, which just keeps coming back. Like, he has this old crappy box and this, like, harmonica inside, and he can kind of play, which I guess the actor gets better at over the course of this movie because the song improves.
Well, they asked Bob Dylan to write the score initially, and that's all they kept.
How many roads must a whale swim down?
Jumping over the dam.
Apparently that was the most expensive CGI shot that had ever been made at the time.
Wait, they didn't get a whale to jump over the kid at the end?
Whale smushed our boy.
Oh, Landis, was that his name?
So apparently after tagging this entire aquarium thing, the kid literally gets arrested, and the social worker says, look, man, we found a family who will deal with your shit. So while you're there...
Other words, Michael Madsen is your daddy now.
Yeah, Michael Madsen and who's the actress? Anyone?
It's not Lori Petty because she's the whale trainer.
Yeah, she's the whatever, marine biologist lady. Scientist, I don't know. But they try to make her sound like she knows stuff, so I assume she's a scientist. Jane Atkinson is her name. Who has been in nothing. Oh, she's in the Stay Tuned. She's one of the women in the village. We're doing The Village with M. Night Shyamalan. I saw that movie in theaters, and I was like, huh.
I'll say it. Good movie.
I don't hate it as much as other people do. And I think what tricks me every time with M. Night Shyamalan is he has a great eye for shots. And that movie looks incredible.
I mean, shot by Roger Deakins. What else can you say?
Village, but it looks incredible.
Yeah, The Village is one of the few movies to actually scare me. In the last decade. When they're in the closet and she's touching the monster as really a costume.
Bryce Dallas Howard, I think.
Yeah, then when she's running the woods and the kid with issues is hunting her in the monster suit.
Well, first of all, it's not a kid. It's what's his name?
Okay, a 20-year-old who acts like he's 5.
Adrian Brody?
It's Adrian Brody, who's like 31 in that movie.
Jeremy, you think we should show Matt Sallow at some point?
God, Sallow. That 12 Days of Sodom or whatever it is.
That's the title, 120 Days of Sodom. 120
Days of Sodom, yeah. It's awful.
I'm just
proof
thinking,
of universal human depravity.
I'm just thinking, if we want to really scare Matt here.
That doesn't sound scary, it just sounds gross.
Well, I mean, you're talking about a guy who likes Hellraiser movies. You're going to have to start real deep to get him scared. But I will say The Village is a
movie. Do they have such sights to show me?
M. Night Shyamalan plays a pretty jaunty park ranger in that movie. M. Night Shyamalan is not a subtle man, let's just put it that way.
Speaking of horror, one of the most terrifying scenes in this movie, which wasn't, I guess, supposed to be terrifying, was when they drop Jesse off with Michael Madsen, and he signs the papers, and he's like, this is a lease, I'm not buying it, in reference to a child.
Oh, and by the by, this movie, if Michael Madsen had snapped and killed the kid, A, I would have understood, but B, it's not out of place with his character. This dude is on a knife's edge the entire time, and at one point, the kid steals his truck, and I'm just like, oh my God, he's going to kill him. Oh my God, he's going to kill him. Oh my God. Like, because he just looks at this kid with, like, you want to play baseball? Because if you don't, I might murder you.
I was just surprised. Hey, you're a car mechanic, and you're able to afford a house with a seaside view.
This is a magical
must be
world.
Some fancy cars he's fixing.
Yeah. This is a magical 1994 Clinton's America kind of world or whatever. So they drop off this kid gets dropped off at the house. We're introduced to the family for a third of a second. He has this attic room that kind of looks out over the bay.
So it's not a cupboard under the stairs.
He does look like that kid. I guess we'll have to do Indian at the Cupboard at one point, because that's a weird fucking movie.
Is that the same actor?
No, it's not. It's just another Moppet from the 90s who almost had a career.
Well, there was Lightfoot. Was he the Native American in this one?
No,
No. That, I forget the actor's name. He's unfortunately no longer with us. I believe he passed away.
Meatloaf?
No, the Native American we talked about. That's Spoiled Loaf. The actor who plays Native American in this one is called August Schellenberg, who has also passed. He was in...
he was in Terrence Malick's The New World.
Yeah, which is an excellent film. I'd recommend anything by Malick, but just be prepared. It's never light subject matter.
You haven't seen Knight of Cups, or...
I have not seen Knight of Cups.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I've seen the ones you'd expect me to say if I've only seen good movies of his.
Yeah.
Tree of Life.
Only the ones on Criterion.
That's right. Not his wacky buddy cop movie. I haven't seen the rom-com he did with Rosie O'Donnell. Oh, that's M. Night Shyamalan again. Keep it confusing, those two, with their, you know, twists. Anyway. So he shows up because he's supposed to clean off the graffiti he posted all over this place, right? And immediately gets kind of drawn into this whale because 4 seconds onto his job, the whale, like, scares the crap out of him for a second time. And then we just... There's no way killer whales sound like you're passing a kidney stone, right? Like...
Well, it's the same sound every time.
That's right.
They're trying to give Willy human qualities, but it doesn't work.
Well, and I mean, I know we grow up in the era of pure moods and all that nonsense, but and whale sounds were just something we heard around. But just going back to this, you know, some 26 years after it came back, that, like, it just sounds like nonsense. Like, the whale's just like, this reminds me of a song. Whale, whale. You're just like, okay, they're nonsense.
I'm Skeletor, and I'm voicing your whale.
We just did, the Frank Langella Master of the Universe for Cineprov, and God help me, that movie is so bad, but it's a lot of fun.
Oh, that movie.
I mean, it's a canon movie. What are you going to do? Like, things explode for no reason.
Does the whale explode, though?
The whale here? Might as well.
It should.
You can watch The Boys Season 2 for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or YouTube. Plenty of whales they blow up.
Oh, yes, there's one. I've seen one. Like, they're... like doing an autopsy on it, and the gas just explodes and his insides go everywhere. It's great.
Am I the only one the entire time I'm watching this movie is like, all right, they're on to us. Get them back to SeaWorld.
Dude, 100%. Like, who would have thought a whale would be so heavy, I think is the next one.
Jeez, it's the feds.
Speaking of David Duchovny earlier, I love it. Anyway, so the whale is obsessed with this boy, and... like, I guess we're introduced to it with the harmonica, and the kid is trying to play the whale sounds on harmonica.
Kinda.
But
they
the whale
never explain what that song is, do they?
Not really. It's the theme. It's Willy's theme. Mm. You know, from the movie? From the movie Free Willy. The kid's playing the theme from Free Willy?
Ah, oh, alright.
One of those kids. It's like when Bart Simpson would come in humming the Simpsons theme song, and they would just be like, Bart, stop playing that. Yeah. Sorry, like, the kids should just be playing, like you said, old Bob Dylan nonsense. But one way or another, the kid and his terrible mullet start, the whale start to respond to it.
Well, because Willy saves his life, even though that shouldn't happen, because Jesse, after he falls into the tank and, like, hits his head, how does he not have this massive head wound?
Dude, that scene is weird as shit. So, like, the park is shutting down for the night or something, and no one thought to check on whether or not this 12-year-old kid is around. He wangs his head and falls into the pool, and Willie's like, hey, a corpse. Oh, it's that boy. And then he kind of saves him. Whatever. It's weird. It's really weird.
Have any of you guys ever seen Blackfish? I haven't
seen it. Oh, my God. Yep. Documentary? Yes, I've seen that documentary. It's awful. Well, it's a good documentary. It's just... it's not one that I put on regular rotation. How about that? It's pretty visceral. Good talk. But yeah, okay. So he kind of comes back around, and the Native American guy, Randolph Johnson, good Native American name. Like, they're helping revive Jesse at his house, right? And he's talking about Willie. And, you know, at this point, Lori Petty, who's playing Ray, but we never see her get her degree, so, like, she's a total Mary Sue in this. Like all Rays, I assume. Except for Ray Charles. We see him in that fucking movie. When he's had to play piano over, like, 2.5 hours.
Hollow when you see land, Jonah!
You get Esau Ray.
Yeah.
But, like, they added
personally, Ray Charles is a great musician.
No, it's not that. It's the movie. When he died and they added that extra scene of him going, yeah, to the end, that was pretty stupid. Jamie Foxx is fine. That's just, whatever.
So,
Michael Madsen murders this kid to the tune of Stuck in the Middle with You, which sounds like Bob Dylan, but it's not.
After me.
Dude, if Glenn at any point was just with a knife, like, sharpening it, and he's just humming Stuck in the Middle. I know it's a kid's movie, but, I mean, how funny would that have been? I love it. We're just somewhere around here to Richard, what's his name, Real? As Wade, and Michael Ironside as Dial. These are the dudes who own the park.
Are you talking about the guy who was the actor in Office Space with the Jump to the Conclusion hat?
Yeah, and he's in Casino.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and a bunch of stuff. I think he's in Deuce Bigelow. I think he plays his dad. It's just a big... frankly, he's more of a comedic actor than what he is in this. But he plays, like, Michael Ironside's number two. And they kind of look like each other. And by the way, you know Michael Ironside. He's in Scanners. He's in Top Gun.
How do you not know who Michael Ironside is at this point?
He's been in previous episode Total Recall and Patreon episode Highlander 2.
And Starship Troopers.
And episode Top Gun. He's probably one of the actors we've done the most because he was just... He always played a heavy or a bad guy or a tough in, like, every movie from, say, 1985 to 1993. And he still has a career. He voiced Darkseid in that Batman or Superman the Animated Series.
He was Sam Fisher in all them Splinter Cell video games.
Yeah. And, I mean, he's in Major Pain. Stay tuned. He's...
He's a goddamn legend is what he is.
He is, and he just plays a gruff motherfucker in this who wants to eventually kill, like, burn down the aquarium for the insurance money or whatever is going
to
happen.
He wants to kill Willie at the end for the $1 million policy, I guess.
Also, that's going to... I mean, the last 20 minutes of this movie makes no sense.
No.
Effectively, he wants Willie to die for the insurance money, but guess what? You also get your insurance money if someone steals from you.
No, they said
they don't have theft insurance.
Oh, I'm glad they fixed that bottle.
They actually put some thought into that?
No. I mean, to be fair, who the fuck's going to steal a whale?
Moses Lack, apparently.
First of all, Carmen Sandiego. Second of all, one of the Planeteers, maybe? This is 92. This is prime Planeteers.
They had a Free Willy animated...
Whale disappearing? Like, didn't David Copperfield
This is David Copperfield.
Wait. They had a Free Willy animated series that was basically a knockoff of Captain Planet.
You gotta be fucking kidding me.
And every time there was a canal or a fjord that he could swim into to save the
and
day.
It was on around the same time as the animated Battletech show I used to watch.
No, I need to hear more about this.
So Kids WB needed a competitor to TBS's Captain, I almost said Captain America, Captain Planet. Is that what you're telling me?
I guess. I can't remember it very well.
No kidding. I'm sure it was terrible. I'm sure this is like Hulkamation or whatever nonsense was going on.
Tell me more, Matt. Tell me more about this cartoon.
Tell me more. You know, feel a song coming on.
I mean, were there guest stars like Scooby-Doo? Like, the Hulkster realizes he should be saving the whales as well.
I'm Willie. I'm Ross Perot, and I'm running for president.
It just floats through.
It was ABC from 1994 to 1995.
Yeah.
And by that, September to February.
So, 7 episodes. Was there a Christmas special where he helped Santa?
There might actually have been a Christmas special.
Was Mark Hamill a voice in this?
I'm looking it up.
I'm sure no one was a part of this except for Frank.
Voices Walker. Of Zachary Bennett, Paul no. Haddad, and Gary Crawford.
And then Frank Walker was the whale.
I'm sure
made by Nelvana.
I'm sure they're all very nice people with wonderful careers.
When you're this, you're just like, you need me to voice a boy? Okay, I'm a boy, right? Like, that's what it was. I'm sure they gave it no thought. That's fantastic. I mean, again, people already say we're too much like we have movies, which is fine. We're not going to do another animation show, but, like, that's one I would do episode by episode, baby. Like, that sounds incredible. That sounds incredible.
And they bring back the Indian guy from the movie.
Oh, Johnson.
I think so.
Bring in a guy named Johnson. Mm. Randolph Johnson. Randy
yeah, Randolph. Yeah, Randolph.
Okay, so other than this, like, the plot becomes, like, hey, this boy might make us some money. And he goes to, like, the fish market. He starts feeding whales, like, fish.
Yeah.
Right? At this point, Milhouse shows back up, and he's like, hey, we escaped the cops. Sorry we left you for dead or whatever. We're going to Venice Beach because there's these pictures of girls in string bikinis. Venice Beach. You know, I found this kid down at Venice Beach. He's pretty cool. It's like now a stunt double for, like, Expendables 9.
Who cares what's going on in the second act of this? It's a Lifetime movie.
Dude, the only thing that's really funny is eventually the kid starts training Willie. And he gets good at it. And Lori Petty's like, hey, you're pretty good at this. And he's like, I know. And so they put together a show that they put on for Michael Ironsides. And it's okay. You know, whatever. And they're like, all right, now it's time to go live. And then Willie gets stage fright because kids are tapping on the glass.
Ooh, yeah, that scene.
And it's amazing. It's like, because you said Lifetime movie. This is the second act, two friends having a fight. Like, they have their first big gig. Like, it's almost famous or something. The kid says he's a golden god and falls off the roof. Like, I don't even think...
Billy Crudup as the Stillwater guy.
That movie is so good. I rewatched it recently. It's awesome. But like, that's what it is. It's like, Billy was supposed to be my friend, and now everything in my life is falling apart, so I'm going to Venice Beach to sell blow on the beach, or whatever is happening.
I've got a feeling that Nick really enjoys Almost Famous, because whenever he says anything, it ends with, I'm on drugs!
And of course, whenever you hear Tiny Dancer, you just have to break into song.
Oh yeah, sure.
It's a good scene. It's a fine scene.
Hold me closer, Tiny Whaler.
Count the blowholes.
You're not going to count anything that's blowing me. I'm kind of watching as we're talking. The kid getting close to Willie is just...
The kid getting close to Willie and Michael Jackson is responsible for the main theme to this movie. I'm just saying.
Well, and it's also like, Lori Petty has shorter hair than he does, so like, when like, she's doing a scene like the barfly teaching him to play pool, right? Like, she's behind him holding the pool thing, like, behind him, and they're, like, rubbing the whale together. It's very, like, ghost. It's bizarre.
Oh, my whale.
You might as well.
My darling.
Oh, my God. And there's, again, like, because this also kind of wants to be a PSA. They're, like, there's a poster of whales on her wall. And the orca's circled, or whatever, red square. And he goes, I thought that's supposed to be Willie. That doesn't look like him at all. What happened to his fin? And
oh,
like,
yeah.
For some reason, in captivity, the fin falls over. And, like, I don't know why this movie feels like it needs to be a PSA, but it does at this point. And I guess it's about the Seattle Supersonics not existing, because that's the one product placement we get over and over again, is the Supersonics hat. But yeah, so it's eventually about you shouldn't mistreat whales, although, again, like, we talked about the horrible treatment of Kieko throughout this whole thing, who plays Willie, because even when it's whales, female whales play male whales, like dogs do. But apparently... The tank that they had her in was incredibly small. So small, in fact, that it caused an international outcry about this movie, which is why they eventually freed Willie, so to speak.
And it didn't work?
Yeah, well, a few years after Willie died, Kieko died, excuse me. But in the there's three sequels to this, all of which they use animatronics like Bruce from Jaws, which... You know what? You could have done here for the amount of interaction that the whale actually has with the kid. And the big jump scene is actually all CGI anyway, so...
Yeah.
It's just a dorsal fin that's been swimming around most of this movie. Well, we needed a villain, so we have Michael Ironside. And by the way, Michael Ironside will be your villain. And he does a good job. He's fine.
Well, he's Michael Ironside. He can sleepwalk his way through this world.
He may have.
There you go.
Did he wail upon the role?
No. He certainly did not.
As the kid gets closer to Willie, like I said, we eventually have a show that gets horribly wrong, I guess. By the way, we are halfway through this movie. This movie is so long. At one point, Michael Madsen tries to give the kid a baseball. They have a fight, and the kid, and Michael Madsen's like, you know, we have a 90-day return policy on this kid. We don't even want this kid. Why don't we return him?
Oh, yeah, and he throws the baseball out the window.
Which resolves everything. The scene just ends, kind of.
It's a fucking Full House scene is what it is.
It is. And instead of stealing fish, now he's buying fish. Like, the kid is becoming a better person as, I guess, then Stoney goes to Venice Beach. I don't know. Like, the movie kind of falls apart after Michael Ironsides is disappointed with the show.
And then there's a scene where Jesse hears Willie talking to his family. That's like, apparently this amusement park's right against the Pacific Ocean.
Yes. If you guys have seen the episode of The Simpsons where dolphins take over, it's essentially the same
place. Yes, exactly.
After the failed show, what's important is not only does Willie disappoint everyone, you know, Lori Petty is sad, the kid is crying, because this kid cries for about half this movie.
And I'll tell you what he sounds like.
The fat guy Wade runs down and the tank is leaking.
Yeah.
And this is where they get the master plan. Well, if this whale, if we can't legally sell this whale for like tuna meat, we might as well murder it for the insurance money. Right? Like, this is where the idea is hatched. 70 minutes. We finally get a plot 70 minutes into this movie.
Well, the whole idea of freeing Willie comes, like, what, an hour, 20 minutes into this movie?
I mean, yeah, it's kind of just a car chase for the last 25 minutes of this.
That sounds a lot cooler than it actually is.
We learned all the rules. All right, so if you're going to steal a whale, rule number one, you got to keep it wet. Rule number two, it can breathe above water, but it can only be out for like 30 minutes or whatever they say. And so they're like...
Are you sure you're not just describing your favorite porn movie right here?
You got to keep me moist.
You got to keep it wet, make sure that they can breathe.
So Nick, you're into BBW. You got
30 minutes.
So you're into BBW's Big Beautiful Whales.
That's right, Big Beautiful Whales.
Mm-hmm.
But they have this whale, like, eventually they'll have it in, like, this sling to move it, but just hosing it down at car washes is the last 20 minutes of this.
And again, the whole idea at this point is that Willie just absolutely loves Jesse. Whale, not dog.
Whale that saved the kid's life once, sure, I guess. He likes people, but it's just... I don't know, man. It just... It stinks. Lori Petty is, like, kind of there to help, but the whale hates her for some reason. I don't know why it likes this street urchin. But, like...
I think the key word there is urchin.
That's right. I will say the funny part to me is the scene after Willie fails the show. And, like they're all on top of this hill. We have Michael T. Williams, and he's like... Or Williamson, rather. And they're like, I'm going to fly my mom. He's like, your mama left you. I don't know.
Didn't even look in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, just drove away, dumb kid. Why don't you try to save a whale or something? These people almost like you. Michael Madsen's like, I'm gonna go warm up the car. Like,
yeah.
He's leaving the scene. He doesn't give a shit. It's really funny. I don't know why they thought he'd be good in a kids movie, but like, give this role to anyone and it might matter. I mean, this 92, give it to Robin Williams. Like, he was playing a dad. Like, he was okay. This is 2 years before Mrs. Doubtfire.
Frankly, I like Michael Madsen in this movie.
You want him to throttle the kid, too?
Yeah. A little bit, but I mean, it was such a weird casting choice. It's like, okay, you've got my attention.
I mean, I guess. I mean, everyone in this is just screams, like, kid power kind of nonsense. The buddy is Michael Bacall, who's in Inglourious Basterds, and Scott Pilgrim in Death Proof and 21 Jump Street. But he writes scripts. Like, he's not really in Hollywood as an actor anymore. He's not good He's not good in this.
Is anyone good in this movie?
The whale?
No.
Lori Petty trying to... No, she's terrible in this. Michael T. Williams is not good. But other than the kid, no one gets that much screen time.
No.
I mean...
And the whale.
The whale gets a lot of screen time. And it's all B-roll of him in a tank. So, you know, whatever. Like you said, kind of the last part of this, after the kid is kind of bumming, after he runs away from home for the 30th time, right, he goes to see the whale. He's mad at the whale. He's throwing rocks in the tank. And then he hears singing out in the bay because the other whales come back. And then he notices something weird about Willie's tank. He hears a weird sound or something. There's like sparks or something weird. He goes into the observation deck. And he notices people are cutting holes in the tank. So the last half hour of this, they go down. They're like, well, I guess the whale's just going to die. We should let it die. They're like, no, we should free Willie. And he's like, well, son of a bitch, I'm in. And then everyone's son of a bitch is, I'm in. They go steal Dad's truck and this whale harness, which apparently they just have around. As the water gets lower and lower,
To be fair, they introduced the whale harness earlier when Willie's out in a smaller pool and Lori Petty's all pissed off about it.
That's right. And, so as they're trying to get the whale out, they hook it into the dad's truck, right? Because he has a tow truck because he's a mechanic. And that's it. They're just going to spray down the whale and try to make a break for freedom. Hope that Michael Ironside doesn't know what's going on. And try to get out of this movie. They're desperately trying to find the end credits of this movie.
Part of the journey involves...
Whale.
Part of the journey involves Michael Madsen punching Michael Ironside, which sounds so much cooler than it actually is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, essentially we have a kid with a whale in the harness sling, and they're spraying it down, at one point stopping at a car wash, when Michael Ironside happens to roll on past. And they're playing this weird cat-and-mouse game, which seems to take oddly long considering that the adventure park is already on the ocean. But they have to drive, apparently, until dawn.
To a specific marina?
I don't know. All I know is that we see Michael Ironsides in his, like, fuck pad, where he's in, like, a sunken room surrounded by couches and leather and wearing a smoking jacket. I'm just like, oh, yeah.
It's Troy McClure's house.
That's what it is. It's Troy McClure's house. We also see at one point the truck gets stuck in the mud, because of course it does, and he has to call up his dad, Michael Madsen, and say, I'm sorry I stole your truck. I'm sorry everything I've done so far is wrong, but I love you, Dad. Help me save this whale. Also, it looks like the woods where the Jurassic Park is happening.
Kid, so that's not a nice thing to call my wife.
And I'm stuck in the middle. Just humming the song with a knife. This is how I imagine him all the time. In the 2,000 straight-to-DVD movies he's been in since then.
Jesus Christ, how many credits does Michael Madsen have? It's got to be like 500 at this point. Maybe only 5 things that he's proud of doing.
Oh, I don't think he cares if he's proud of anything anymore. But guys got to eat, people got to work, and if you're going to be in this many things, you can. You want to take an over-under on how many things he's actually in? How many acting credits he has?
200.
Okay.
I want to say 300.
324 acting credits. Now, I mean, some of that stuff is in pre-production, post-production, completed nonsense, but yeah, it's just, you want Michael Madsen to do your podcast?
If you need to launder some money, Michael Madsen is your guy.
He's in a podcast. For example, in 2024, he'll be in something called The Age of Stone and Sky, The Warlock's Curse. And he is the warlock, I assume, the titular warlock. And he's the only character, or only actor I've heard of in this movie. So, yeah. But yeah, so he's in this. He helps them get out of the ditch, and they free the whale. At this point, we kind of are rapidly approaching the end credits, right? At late dawn, Michael Madsen drives his truck through Michael Ironsides. They break through the gate with the whale, pump it, and, you know, they back the thing up into the marina trying to get the whale out, right?
Yeah.
That's it. And if you know anything about this movie, you know how it ends, which is the whale fucking jumps over a retaining wall.
Basically because Ironside's got another group of whalers that's trying to cut Willie off from actually making it into the ocean. So jumping over that rock dam is the only way Willie can be free.
Right. And I mean, like, Michael Madsen drives his fucking truck, his livelihood, into this marina for a kid who's just going to run away again, I assume. But yeah, they're like, he punches Michael Ironside, he punches Richard Reel. The whale kind of swims away. As he, I assume, just drowns Michael Ironside's, and then, you know, takes one of his teeth for his necklace or whatever's going on there. And the whale tries to get away. He can't, so then he jumps over and crushes the boy and then smash cut to black.
Oof, what a mess.
I mean, and again, the movie ends actually shockingly a lot like Twister, where everyone's kind of damp and by a broken truck, and they're like, yay!
That's a good comparison there.
And then someone with slick back hair is like, ah, rump. And then we smash cut to credits.
Give Michael Ironside a harumph. Harumph. You watch your ass.
And then it's just, and then all the bad guys are standing on the hillside and they're like, well, I guess the whale's getting away. And then all the good guys are like, do you think the whale's gonna get away? And then it fucking jumps over the kid. And then smash cut to Michael Jackson's song.
Yeah.
Actually, first, smash cut to 1-800-SAVE-THE-WHALES or whatever it is, which is apparently Dick Donner's idea, when this movie apparently raised more than $20 million for Save the Whales. So, you know what? Good on them there. And then smash cut to Michael Jackson's song.
I can't be the only one who, at the end of the movie, thought, you know, they're going to get the shit sued out of them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Like, that's the part I want to see.
The shit sued out of them? They're going to get arrested.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were joking, like, at the end of The Fugitive, how, like, he would just go to jail for, like, stealing an ambulance and blowing up all these buildings. And, like, how, like, yeah, that's how the movie would actually end. But, like, here, dude, they just stole, what did they say was worth, like, $40 million or whatever?
At least $1 million, I think.
Yeah, okay, you take $1 million, like, mammal away from someone, like, you're going to jail. You can't just steal property like this. I mean, it's Michael Ironside's God-given right to murder this whale.
Now, in the long term, I think they have a pretty good defense, but in the short term, yeah, those people are going to get arrested.
There should be and technically, I mean, the kid is a minor and with a criminal record, we're told already. But like Randolph, he just stole a dude's truck. Like, you can't do that. Like, and I know. And at a certain point, Michael Madsen might say, yeah, I'm not going to press charges because I guess I love this kid. But you still get arrested. Like, everyone's going downtown, and we're going to talk about this in downtown Portland. Cue Michael Jackson. This movie was a trip. I'd forgotten the Foot Clan was involved. I'd forgotten this kid was a street urchin. Like, this is crazy. I guess we should do Final Judgments and not just be shocked at Michael Ironside's here.
Michael Ironside, Michael Madsen, Michael Jackson.
It's Michael.
What other Michaels should have been in this movie?
John
Myers.
Mike Myers. John Travolta as the Archangel Michael.
Which Michael Myers, Groovy Baby or The Killer?
Yes.
Both. Yeah. Although, I mean, based on the Pacific Northwest setting, this is, I would argue, more of a Jason territory. Nice wooded area, nice dark. Anyway, let's go around the table. We'll recommend this or not. Sudsy?
Oh, God. This was a Lifetime movie through and through. And the whole idea that the whale was the protagonist. I mean, again, whale, not dog. Whales are wild animals. They're not domesticated. They're not your friends. I mean, if you want to go ahead and call that number at the end of the movie, fine. That's noble, but the way this movie presents that relationship is just weird. Not to mention the fact that, Jesus Christ, you can make the same movie with the same cast today, and it would go, like, to some streaming service that no one subscribes to.
No. Jerry?
Yeah, it's too long. It's basically an after-school special. Yeah, nah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how I sit on this. Like, I'd say it's 20 minutes too long at least. If you made it 90, 95 minutes, it's already a better movie. But, like, even for a kid's movie, it's kind of boring. It's very dry. And, like, it doesn't go anywhere. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm pissed that Japanese people eat whales too still. Like, this is not the way to convince people not to.
Fuck you, dolphin! Fuck you, whale!
That's right. I don't know, man. Like, in the end of the day, this movie just seems like a lot. And I know these animals are big and have personality, but, like, he's practically doing punch-up to the script by the end. It's just, it's strange, man. I guess hashtag save, or nuke the whales or whatever. For a kid's movie, there's a lot here. I guess there was just less choice back then, and I have rewatched movie over and over again for whatever reason.
Well, maybe that VHS is worth something now.
I would not be optimistic. Anyway, thanks for listening, subscribing, reviewing, doing whatever you do to keep us on the air is appreciated. In the meantime, keep doing those things. Consider the Patreon, and thanks, guys.
Myopia Movies is produced by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. Mission Briefing is hosted by John Copsey. Podcasts are edited by Daniel Settis, and Patreon is edited by Nick Hoffman. Our engineer is Nick Hoffman. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod from Incomtech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.